Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Tuesday edition of the Three Martini Lunch. Along with Jim Garrity of National Review, I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. We've either got all bad or all crazy martinis today, so let's just call them crazy bad martinis. We are recording this before Prime Minister Netanyahu addresses the joint session of Congress to warn about the dangers, as he sees it, of rushing into a nuclear agreement with Iran. As Jim mentioned a moment ago, perhaps that'll provide a late good martini, but for our purposes today, we have pretty much all bad and all crazy. We start with Hillary Clinton, and this is the ABC News version of the story. Hillary Clinton used a personal email account exclusively while serving as Secretary of State and may have violated federal requirements, the New York Times reported late Monday. According to the Times, Clinton did not have a government email address during her 4 years at the State Department, and her aides took no action to preserve her emails, which is required by law under the Federal Records Act. These new revelations raise questions about transparency, legality, and certainly security. It's not clear whether any encryption protection existed on her private email account, as is required on government email. So, Jim, it looks like she's obviously covering her tracks here, but fear not, because Marie Harf has explained what's gone on here. She says, quote, "The State Department has long had access to a wide array of Secretary Clinton's records, including emails between her and department officials who have state.gov accounts." So, you know, if she had sent an email from that private account to somebody at the State Department, we've got that. What are y'all worried about?
Yeah, I was going to say, how many listeners can identify the little glitch in that theory? As long as the only emails she spent in the entire 4 years were only to other State Department employees, we're golden. It's no problem. Except what if she didn't? What if she sent it to anybody in any other governments? What if she sent it to anybody in the private sector? That only covers a fraction of her overall emails. And, you know, people say, well, how many emails are we talking about? The short answer is we don't know. Now, I guess we could say that in a way this is sort of the good martini, because this is a giant stinking headache for the you know, her nascent political campaign. There's no easy way to explain it. They're attempting to say, well, she honored the spirit of the law, which is just bull. Because the whole point of the law is, one, for security purposes, right? I mean, we don't know, you know, Gmail's hackable. You know, there are all kinds of email accounts that are hackable. The federal government can't protect you if you're not using their own system, you know, systems from cyber intrusions and things like that. And then the second thing, you know, you have to have it on a government server so that Edward Snowden can leak it. No, I'm just kidding. I'm a Julian Assange. There's the security issue, but then the other one is just, you know, for history and also observing, like, this is public disclosure. Like, the idea being everything that lawmakers do while they are serving in our capacity, other than, you know, a note to Bill Clinton saying, pick up some milk and eggs on the way home, the public has a right to know that there is a, look, you're on the clock for us. Anything relating to your work, unless the information is classified, unless there's some sort of national security interest, we have the right to see that. And that's what at the heart of all sunshine laws, all public disclosure laws, all Freedom of Information Act requests and things like that. Well, one of the ways to work around all that is to never put your information in the hands of the government in the case of Hillary Clinton doing this through private email. So the question is, so what was she hiding? What did she not want us to see? And also the fact that this is pretty blatantly violation of federal law, federal rules and regulations, and the spin is just not effective. You may recall a while ago, Greg, you know, Trey Gowdy was saying there was a concerted effort to hide information regarding Benghazi documents. And right. People kind of rolled their eyes, ah, crazy Trey Gowdy, there he goes, you know, claiming a systemic intentional decision to withhold certain documents from Congress. Well, you think maybe this is what he had in mind? By the way, my colleague Jonah Goldberg points out the raising interesting question, like, so did no one notice over 4 years that she didn't have any emails? Wouldn't anybody else in the cabinet have said, hey, you know, I'm getting, you know, hillary.clinton@gmail.com instead of, you know, hclinton@state.gov. And nobody else in the government ever raised this issue or told her, you know, you got to do this, which kind of indicates this, the sheer lawlessness at work in this administration. She can't claim to be the most transparent. She'll ever give us the most transparent administration ever. It's every bit the Clintons we've come to expect. The dishonesty, the lying, the secrecy, and the just absolute flaunting the law after you take an oath to uphold and protect them.
On to the second bad martini here. And as we've mentioned just as recently as yesterday, Jim, ever since the Republicans got full control of Congress following the 2014 midterm elections, it's basically been Obama unleashed. He wasn't humbled by the drubbing in the midterm elections. He feels freed now to just try and ram whatever he can by executive order down America's throat. We're obviously still having the huge debate over the immigration action that he took in November. We're still having that funding debate with the Department of Homeland Security. And, of course, there's now a big debate about the president's effort to ban one of the more popular ammunitions affiliated with the AR-15, semi-automatic weapon. The administration is referring to that as armor-piercing bullets. But yesterday at the press briefing, Josh Earnest was also asked about whether the president plans to unilaterally take action when it comes to changing the amount of taxes people pay. Here's what he said.
The president has asked his team to examine the array of executive authorities that are available to him to try to make progress on his goal. So I'm not in a position to talk about any of those in any detail at this point, but the president is very interested in this avenue generally.
I'm sure he is. Jim, from the analysis I've heard so far on this, the president clearly cannot change the actual tax rates, but he thinks he might be able to go around and unilaterally wipe out some loopholes, which I'm pretty sure is also against the law.
The alleged constitutional law professor is going around coming up with new innovative ways of breaking the Constitution. For all the time we kind of say, oh, when is the American people going to wake up to this? Isn't it kind of true there's not a single Democrat in Congress willing to say, whoa, 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 whoa. If you're doing that, you don't need me. Right? Why am I here if you don't need us? And by the way, we saw some, like, you know, Sheila Jackson Lee and the likes of them coming up with ideas for executive orders that Obama could do because they couldn't get their bills passed because they didn't have the votes. And I remember thinking, like, we have an entire Democratic Party that is pretty much on board with the idea of just eliminating the traditional system of government and running the government by executive orders and fiats and with a unilateral ruler. There are a lot of folks on the right who say, well, that's okay. We win this in 2016 and we'll end up being able to do everything we want by executive order. But, you know, as a guy who really likes America and likes the way it was when I was growing up and like the system of government and checks and balances, I don't like this, you know, like, well, okay, dictatorships are going to be okay once we're in charge. I don't like that. That's not what we're supposed to be about. We are conservatives, not right-wing radicals. We care about how things get done, not just what gets done. I think impeachment does have to get back on the table. And this is where I start sounding like a crazy radical. But look, if you start attempting to tell the IRS, don't enforce certain laws, the same way you've just told the immigration folks, don't deport certain people. You know, we're now at a point where our system of government is being completely undermined. And, you know, we can throw into that the Iran deal and the fact that the president is, despite the fact this is a treaty, he's just going to say, well, we're not going to call it a treaty, thus the Senate doesn't have to ratify it by 2/3. This guy just invents, you know, just decides to change the words. What's the line from Alice in Wonderland? When I choose a word, it means exactly what I want it to mean, no more and no less. He invents what words mean in order to get what he wants at any given moment.
Jim, we're going to obviously get into this a little bit more in the third martini, but with this latest overture from the White House, it seems like every step along the way here in the last couple of weeks, the Republicans on this funding issue for executive amnesty and the Department of Homeland Security have been thrown a life vest, first by the federal judge in Texas, which still didn't change the debate. And now the president clearly saying, I'm not stopping here when it comes to executive action. I'm even going to go after how much people are paying in taxes. So at what point does it simply become more important to defend the Constitution than to make sure Phil in IT at Department of Homeland Security gets his paycheck in 2 weeks?
Yeah, there's that. Just kind of as I kind of go through, you know, issue after issue in which the administration is basically saying we don't need Congress. We're going to change the laws on ourselves through executive orders. Ala Pundit over at Hot Air is kind of speculating this is actually making it more likely the Supreme Court is going to slap down a lot of this stuff, that this isn't a one-time example. It's not a unique set of circumstances. It is a broad observation of philosophy of that fundamentally at odds with the Constitution, that, you know, we should get at least five justices on board for that. I'm not so sure about that. I don't like counting on that. I don't really think they should be declaring this as unconstitutional, since I think it is unconstitutional. But it could make for some interesting pushback for this administration. And if he ends up losing a lot more of these Supreme Court decisions, then it might alter the perception of Obama's legacy and really kind of start approaching this mentality that, you know, he does have a much more dictatorial, fiat-minded mentality than any previous president we've had.
Now we'll see. Right now, it looks like there's probably a maximum of five who would actually agree with that view, sadly. Although there have been some unanimous decisions on some smaller things, like the recess appointment decision and so forth. But, all right, on to the crazy martini now, I guess the next crazy martini. And as we know, there was a one-week extension of funding for Homeland Security late on Friday, so now the debate will unfold. This week, the Democrats say they were promised a full, clean Homeland Security funding bill to the end of September by Speaker Boehner in exchange for voting for the one-week deal. He's saying that's not exactly what happened. We'll see what happens in the next few days. But in the meantime, the 50 to 60 House Republicans who have refused to go along with the clean bill because they don't want to fund Obama's unilateral action on amnesty. They're now in the crosshairs of a super PAC affiliated with the House GOP leadership. One of those being targeted is Kansas Republican Tim Hulskamp. Here's the ad that's running in his district.
While the threats grow, conservatives in Congress want to beef up our security, enhance cybersecurity, and put real teeth in immigration enforcement. It's the right message to send to our enemies. But some in Washington are willing to put our security at risk by jeopardizing critical security funding. That's the wrong message to send to our enemies. Tell Congressman Tim Hulskamp to fund Homeland Security. Our safety must come first.
So that's running in Tim Hulskamp's district, Jim Bridenstine in Oklahoma, and Jim Jordan of Ohio. There's digital efforts in a number of other districts. So, Jim, it's always the establishment that hates it when the conservatives throw challengers into incumbent primaries. But in this situation, they seem to have no trouble firing back the other way.
Yeah, you could acknowledge the nightmare scenario for Boehner, that they stick to their guns. They don't approve. They demand Obama sign a bill that does not fund the executive order amnesty. Obama refuses to do it. He blames Republicans. DHS is shut down or operating on minimal staff for a while. And then something terrible happens. ISIS attacks. Something blows up. And you can imagine the way the president and Democrats and everyone else would demagogue the hell out of that scenario from now until the 2016 election. And so I'm not saying that's not a real concern. Having said that, if you're not going to fight this here, there's no particular sense of how you're actually going to fight this. And the idea that any group is going to go after other Republicans on this with that kind of an attack ad is not helpful. I just don't think that. Do you think Tim Hulskamp really doesn't want to protect the country? The whole reason he doesn't want to do executive order amnesty is because I think a lot of Republicans believe this makes the country less safe. We're just going to be handing out citizenship like it's from a Pez dispenser, or at least work permits, or at least the ability to stay in the country. And we don't know if we're giving it to people who've committed crimes, right? Now, even if they're not terrorists, they certainly, some of these people could be dangerous to Americans. And we just don't trust the ability of this administration to sort through them and send back the folks who are committing crimes. Remember when they were debating this, they didn't want drunk driving to be a considered a dangerous behavior. All right, now it sure as heck sounds dangerous to me. So Tim Hulskamp and a bunch of these other House conservatives have real beef with that, and you're demonizing them. You are villainizing them for wanting to make that stand. And while as much as I said at the beginning of this answer, I understand where Boehner's coming from, and I understand the idea of trying to avoid shutting down the Department of Homeland Security, it just seems like a utterly unnecessary formation of the circular firing squad to take shots at him and kind of indicate that he doesn't want to protect the country in a nasty attack ad like that.
Yeah, it's also interesting the phrasing in there. The conservatives in the House want to get this done. Then there's Tim Hulskamp.
Yeah, who's he?
Jim, crazy day. Let's hope the prime minister gives us a little bit of sanity later this morning. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Here's hoping, Greg. See you tomorrow.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Thanks for being with us today. And be sure to join us again on Wednesday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.